Juana. Now, what can I tell you? I do support medical marijuana, so, you know, I'm also, there is an issue about Obama and his promises, but then...
Really?
But then there is another issue that who broke their promise first? Because, I mean, this is a story of the man named Jeb. We have a better story in medical marijuana. This is a story of Richard Lee, who in Oakfest, and he did Proposition 19. Proposition 19, California, unfortunately, I am going to throw a couple of things about Georgia. We will talk about New Hampshire, and we're going to talk about a lot electronics here. But California seems to be the battle zone right now in regards to medical marijuana. So please forgive me if I keep bringing up California. It's not that there is... The battlefield is all over the country. There are now 17 states. Rhode Island has joined the group. New Hampshire has once again, the great governor vetoed it. Massachusetts left the two bills hanging into the legislature. They didn't even vote on it. You know, you just got to love Massachusetts. What can I say to you? But Richard Lee, we have the story of Richard Lee. Richard Lee created Oakfest. He then decided last year to do Proposition 19. Proposition 19, everything in California is a proposition. It's probably from the movie industry. I'm gonna proposition you. So 19 pretty much said, yes, we have medical marijuana. We were the first state to pass it, but now we want recreational marijuana. We want it to be totally legal. No restrictions, nothing. When Proposition 19 came out, the great city of Oakland, who is a somewhat industrial town, just kind of near San Francisco, to give you the kind of philosophy they have, decided that they had these great warehouses that were not being used. And the city was short money. So what they went out and did was they said, they proposed to people and said, we, the city, will let you rent these mammoth warehouses because it's a shipping town. So these were, you know, cargo. And you can take these and you can convert them to growing fields. And we don't care if you're affiliated with a dispensary or not, which was illegal under current state law. But they didn't care. All they wanted was $200,000 every 6 months as a rental fee. That's all they wanted. Very generous of them. And they based this all on Proposition 19. And I know this is going to be a shock to everyone, but every one of those warehouses got rented with a stipulation. The stipulation was Proposition 19 had to pass. Proposition 19 failed. And it failed for a major reason. Believe it or not, the growers in California didn't like Proposition 19 because the growers were very concerned that the way it read, Monsanto could have gone into California and started to grow marijuana. Well, the question was, why is this bad? I'm sorry, I'm not really big on genetically altered strains, okay? And that's one of the major issues. So that was the major issue of the marijuana community. Proposition 19 failed. Oakland said, well, hey, I guess we can't rent these warehouses out because everybody broke their lease and said, we're not doing this. But who broke their promise first? Because all this happened before Obama basically came back and said, we're pulling back our promise that if the states had stated that you had medical marijuana statutes and you were obeying it, we're going to leave you alone. Oakland did what they did. Obama said, you know, in reality, that promise is no longer going to be valid. And now you know pretty much why California has become the war zone. Now, by the way, Denver has dispensaries being closed. California had 115 closed. Some of the oldest dispensaries in the United States were closed, and we're going to get into that. There are certain issues that we're going to talk about. Let's talk about electronic commerce. Does anybody know, can you buy seeds online and get them delivered to the United States? If you get caught, it's a penalty and it's a fine, and it's 6 months in jail and $10,000. You know, I'm not saying that you can, I'm not saying that you can't order them. I'm not saying that it will get to you, but I'm telling you it's illegal. Dispensaries used to have online ordering systems. We could order online and a courier would deliver it to you. No, actually that was in Denver and Washington. Yeah. No, California. And the issue there was it was disputed by the state, not the feds. The state closed that down because they said there was no way, based on an online order, that you could check if somebody had a card. And if they were not, if you can't check if they were not have a card, and we're assuming a card means that they have a recommendation. Nobody, no doctor. If a doctor says, I'm going to give you a prescription, he can't. Because pretty much, you know, a prescription means he's actually giving you an ability to buy drugs. So therefore, he's a drug dealer. But he can give you a recommendation. Right. And of course, California has this great batch of clinics. They're called Dr. Feelgood. $125. It's amazing what illnesses you didn't. You walked in there, you had no idea. There is an initiative in Arizona now to create a database so that anyone in any state could call up and make sure you have a valid card. The reason why this became an initiative was a case between Washington State and California, which is also on the West Coast, I'm sorry. But a person in California took a pound and a half of medical marijuana, which he had a prescription for, and went into Washington State, which Washington State is a medical marijuana state, but they don't allow you to carry that much. Their maximum was 9 ounces, which is still, I mean, you could be in some serious pain, but still 9 ounces is good. But, you know, 9 ounces, they felt, could last you 30 days.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We did put down this was a comedy routine, right? It gets better, trust me. Right. You know, California felt that for 30 days that was too little, you know, and you should have the opportunity for some pounds. The guy went to a rock concert. It was a male. He went to a rock concert. And the police stated that he was there to sell and distribute drugs. I don't understand it, but that's what the police stated. He claimed, he flashed his California medical marijuana card and said, you can't arrest me, I'm allowed to hold all this stuff.
All of it?
All of it. Well, the state said that you could. I mean, he had a prescription for it, a recommendation
in California.
And Washington has acknowledged, and many states have acknowledged, that they will honor another state's medical marijuana card because, let's say you're in California, and let's say you have a very, very, you know, debilitating illness, and for whatever reason, your company sends you out to Connecticut.
Correct.
And you can't, you know, and we'll talk about flying because that's another good line. That's a myth and a half. But if you get to Connecticut, and now how do you work? Because you do have a debilitating illness. Connecticut says, yeah, we'll recognize the card. We're not going to make you go through the theoretical, all the steps of the pharmacy and getting all the prescriptions and bring all your medical records with you.
What states have reciprocal that you know right now?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Because it's now a big issue. Because the federal government didn't like that issue because they have a, or, the federal government has said that if another state honors a card, it's no longer intrastate commerce, it's interstate commerce, because California is over there and Connecticut's over there. So it's not just the card, it's really the potential to buy and sell marijuana. So even though the almost every statute except Nevada, and well, Nevada is also a great, I love Nevada. Nevada is a great thing. Nevada is my best joke. Nevada, basically, you cannot have a company. You have to only be an individual caregiver. That's fine. That's great. Nevada also says that as a caregiver, you can't keep seeds. That's okay. Of course, someone did ask the ridiculous question. It has been brought up. If I can't have seeds, but I have to be an individual caregiver, and I can't bring seeds from California to Nevada because, again, that's transporting over state lines, how do I grow? Nevada's working on it. But Arizona has now created the initiative that they want every state to go into this database so that everybody, no matter where they are, the dispensary can read that. Now, it's kind of humorous because right now there is no central database for any state. You know, it's pretty much the marijuana dispensaries have the database. Which means that now you have this great monolith, this, you know, database, which one of the things that everybody used to say was, well, you know, you have a card or you have a prescription, but there's no real record of it, so how does either your employer find out about it or the feds find out about it? Well, oh wait, we're creating this new database that will be very prevalent. And, oh, we'll have all your names and addresses and all that and how much you use. But getting back to good old Richard Lee. So Richard Lee basically came out and said, Proposition 19 failed. Okay. And he went on his merry way, you know, very, very big marijuana activist. 9 months later, good old Richard, Oakfest, which is a licensed university in the state of California, got raided by two somewhat federal organizations. One was the DEA, one was the IRS. They closed down the university for 3 days. There were calls to the police saying that, you know, during this incident, that to the state police and the city, saying there's an illegal break-in going on and people are ransacking, where the city cops came in and said, what are we going to do? It's the feds. You know, give us a break. So he then was told that he now needs to pull out. He has to basically step down from Oakhurst. He has to remove himself from politics, or else he's going to be facing major IRS investigations. And he did. He made a public speech saying, I am passing my baton. I am passing my baton to Steve D'Angelo, who is the head of Harborside, who is a dispensary that has 108,000 patients. That's the one there. They have a small little operation in San Jose. I don't know. Now, he got audited, and they found that he owes $5.2 million because he didn't follow federal statute. He followed state statute, but there's a small statute that says if you're doing drugs of this nature, even in a medical dispensary, you cannot take certain expenses like rent, like office supplies. Only the expenses that you're allowed to take is actually directly related to buying the product. So if he spent $200 buying a pound from a grower, that is about the only expense he could take, plus the people that are actually measuring, you know, and selling across the counter. Anything else, executive salaries cannot take. He got hit with a $5.2 million bill. But they weren't happy enough. And this is how they started to close down medical marijuana dispensaries all across the country. Every medical marijuana dispensary has to be a minimum of 1,000 feet away from a public education facility. Now, it would have been nice if they had told people this before they opened up the dispensary. It would have been nice, you know, to have grandfathered all the people prior to that. That didn't happen. So they just kind of went around and said, you're 995, you're closed. You're 992, you're closed. You're 32 feet, you're closed. I got to tell you, anybody that opens up a medical marijuana dispensary 32 feet away from a public school, they also have some serious issues. You know, it's like, give me a break. You know, let's wave the flag. Yeah. So, but Harborside was a different case. The nearest public education was 3 miles. So that's not how they closed them. They stated that he has 108,000 patients, all with cards, all from a state perspective legal. The Fed said, you have 108, you got to be doing something illegal. We're going to close you down. This was their logic. They then went to his landlord because he did not own the building. And this is how they're closing down all the medical marijuana dispensaries across the country. They go to the owner of the building and they say, you have a drug dealer operating in your building. Under federal law, we are entitled to confiscate your building. You have 30 days to kick that person out. This is federal law. And if it wasn't a medical marijuana dispensary, if it was a crack dealer, and the landlord knew about it, you would sit there and say, it's a crack dealer, he's selling to 5-year-old kids. This is not that bad a law. Right. But they took it and said, you have a legal state institution, but we're going to declare it this, and therefore, now you're going to lose your building. Now, a lot of states kind of like this. Especially a lot of states' police forces like this. Because a little known fact, but in the great state of Georgia, the great state of Georgia has confiscated over $45 million in drug busts, of which the police have then taken $30 million and bought computers, automobiles, and, you know, basic things using, saying that the drug money is supplementing our budget and we're not relying upon the public to help us. We're having criminals fund us. So all these medical marijuana dispensaries, Michigan, Denver, California, are in great commercial buildings. I mean, the states were looking and saying, and the cities were looking and saying, this could be a boom. Feds confiscate it, we get it. You know, look at the rental income we're going to have, you know, to help our state budgets. Richard Lee's now gone. All right, bye, Richard.
Here we go.
The feds got a little bit obnoxious. They went to Mendocino in California. Mendocino police had a program. They would actually go around and they would tie little bags on the buds. And the people would pay $50 per bud, and they would attest that this marijuana is for medical marijuana purposes only and totally legal. That's what they did. That's all, you know, they, two guys going around. I think they got, like, they were getting about $500,000 every 6 months from this program. The growers didn't care. You know, the cops didn't care. Everybody was kind of happy about it. The feds didn't like it. They felt that this was basically Mendocino police were supporting a drug trade. And they basically told the Mendocino police, you can't do it anymore. Now, you got to understand, $1 million for Mendocino is some real nice money. And the people said, well, you tell us we can't do it. How are you going to replace it? That's not our problem. Federal government, that's not our problem. L.A. decided that they didn't like medical marijuana dispensaries. Now, L.A. passed a law. They basically said, we're closing all medical marijuana facilities in our town limits. There were three other cities in California that said, Because the feds were just saying, we're going to close them down anyway. And the city was trying to beat them. State Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. You've overstepped your bounds. Which meant that all the other cities in California have now rescinded those laws. Harborside is still operating because they went into litigation, but it's not. I don't know. I should have, but, you know, it's always the side comments that are the best. Have you noticed? And nobody likes to share. I don't understand. No, what time is it? At least it's not 4:15. That's the Hell's Angels clothing store in San Francisco. By the way, if you ever see caps in San Francisco at 4:15, yes, it's Hell's Angels. We have some interesting things that are going on now. Flint, Michigan. Come on. Yeah, it became famous because of, you know, lack of manufacturing. Okay, Sheriff of Flint decided he is going to set up drug roadblocks. Which, they're like robots. Where they basically will stop you and they will check your car for drugs. It went all the way up. It's totally legal. They can do it. It was determined under the DEA. Yes, sir.
Are they using drug dogs to do that? Do they have problems? There's a question about drug dogs
being probable cause. How are they getting probable cause to do the searches? Are they using drug dogs?
They don't need probable cause. Not on a roadblock.
That applies here in Georgia as well.
Oh, I believe it, but it hasn't been reported.
Right.
No, I believe you.
They can say anything is probable cause.
Right.
A dead sticker could be probable cause. You having blonde hair could be probable cause. You driving the speed limit could be probable cause.
Well, so let's talk about the Florida's governor, Jeb.
No,
let's be fair for him. He basically planned, he proposed that it was going to be now every state employee had to be tested for drugs.
Right.
Florida State said unconstitutional. Can't do it. Supreme Court, the good old U.S. Supreme Court. I'm just going to give you some cases to talk to about this. Supreme Court basically said, if you get caught, even for a speeding ticket, the police have the right to strip search you. So just drive slowly.
Unless you're ugly, then you can take advantage of that.
You'll still get strip searched. They're getting into this.
That's called justice if you're ugly.
It's justice. Okay.
No, not for the ugly person, but you inflict it on the police.
Police arrested a person in a car because they stated that they could smell marijuana in a shopping bag. That the shopping bag was in a trunk didn't bother anybody, I guess. But this was in San Francisco. It went to the appellate division, and the appellate division said, no, we reject the smell test. You can't smell marijuana. You can't go and start saying, I smell it, therefore I'm going into your trunk. Yes?
Was this the case with a parked car where they decided to act on?
I'm sorry. I think wasn't this the one where the court had them put it back into a car in a parking lot, and they had to go back through and find the car again in the court case?
Yeah.
Yeah. They failed that one miserably.
Yeah, but I thought it was good that they failed it.
Yeah.
San Francisco pot clubs, of which about 60 of them have been closed, have decided to sue the U.S. Department of Justice. Saying that it's discriminatory because they're not going with equal vengeance against every other state. That's nice, you know. Let's not fight them because of, you know, like they're violating state statutes. No, let's say take your agents and go over to Colorado, Michigan, Rhode Island, and then we'll be fine. Then you can shut us down. That never made much sense to me. New Jersey. New Jersey has a lawsuit. It was filed against Christie and the New Jersey Department. Why? Because Jersey was supposed to have 6 medical marijuana dispensaries. They have 2, of which I've been told one's now closed. And they're basically saying that Jersey is making it impossible for anybody to ever get certified. Another great... The Dutch are getting... How many people like Amsterdam?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Amsterdam, a great place, except for one minor little thing. There is a judge that basically has tried to determine that marijuana is only for Dutch citizens and not for non-residents. This was supposed to go into effect in May of this year. It's been delayed for a year. So if you're looking to go to Amsterdam, you might want to go quick. They're in negotiations because Amsterdam used one of the most ridiculous reasons why this should not be enacted. Something about tourist money. You know, it was a very funny thing. So that was fun. You're going to tell me when it's like 10 minutes so I can have questions? Oh, I'm glad we agreed to that. Medical marijuana, from a state perspective of California, is a great thing for sales tax. They're making a lot of money. Every state is making it. Every state is having closures. The federal government is going to every medical marijuana state and trying to close them down. There have been initiatives in the federal Congress, you know, to make it legal. It's not going to happen. We only have now 17 states. I think if we had the majority of states, then I think we would have a good chance at it. You know, I could keep reading your articles. I mean, this is just 1 year. Yes. Oh, wait. I stopped them. Come on.
Hi, Alan Koslow. I was actually on this panel with you 2 years ago. I don't
right.
know
I remember.
If you remember. And just to give you a little follow-up on what's happening in both Iowa and in federal court that we're doing, I'm one of the respondents on a suit against the FDA in federal court right now that basically is trying to say that the FDA rules making marijuana a Schedule 1 do not go against either a factual basis, a scientific basis, or the fact that Schedule 1 says that it has no known medical use in the United States. And so we're arguing that because of the states that have medical marijuana laws, it does have a documented medical use, and so therefore it should be a Schedule 2. We're also similarly, we're just in the process of petitioning. We won in the state Supreme Court in Iowa that the pharmacy board has the right to make it a Schedule 2 without having to go through the legislature. So we're currently in the process of repetitioning the state legislature, the pharmacy board, to convert it to a Schedule 2. So those are two things that are both coming up over the next 2-3 months that we're doing both in Iowa and in the Federal Appeals Court. But we've already gone through 2 levels, as you know, to get to the Federal Appeals Court. We're 1 level below the Supreme Court on this case.
And you're going to go there?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even a question. You'll go there, and then the question's going to be, is it just going to be related to Iowa?
Well, no, actually, it's the other. We're from Iowa, but the other respondents are national respondents, and it's actually to be applied. The one in the Federal Appeals Court is on a national level. It doesn't have anything specifically to do with Iowa. It's just that we happen to be some of the 2 of about 8 respondents on the case.
Okay, good. I would love it to be a Class 2 drug. You're just going to have to wait. But I recognize you.
I actually had a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Has anyone ever really tried to get good research legitimized for medical marijuana?
Yes, there are many studies that basically, it's not legitimizing medical marijuana. What it is showing that marijuana has medical properties and therefore should not be a class one drug.
Right.
That there are many studies.
Right. What I've always heard, though, is it's near impossible to get really good medical studies done on it because of federal laws.
No, that's not true. There are a lot of medical studies that are done that have been university endorsed, saying that it's legitimate. One of the questions that's always been is, how did medical marijuana ever get as a class one drug? And under the Freedom of Information Act, they've determined that there was never a study done to get it to be a class one drug.
Right.
But the director didn't like marijuana. But go ahead.
Okay, my other question is, how has the classic illegal drug industry really reacted to it, and have they actually suffered at all because of medical marijuana, or have they profited from it?
The amount of people that are, first of all, there's only 17 states now that have legalized. That doesn't mean that because they've legalized it, that they have dispensaries in operation, all right? But even there, recreational use, I don't see them being hurt that much. I think the big hurt is going to be if it ever does get legalized, then you're going to see a lot of the agribusiness, like Monsanto, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're going to be all over this. They're going to be selling this. And I think that the cigarette industry, is just going to be right there pushing out marijuana cigarettes.
20 packs of Marlboro Greens.
Yeah. I like it, but better, patent the name because they'll use it.
Yes, sir. I wanted to know what you might think the odds are, or what might the process be for getting medical marijuana legalized more in the South. Because right now, all of them are like California, Washington, Colorado, Connecticut.
You got Arkansas. They're kind of south. You got Nevada. They're kind of south.
The southeast. Like,
oh, come on, I'm from New Hampshire. They're south. They're south of me. Jeez.
The south, south.
You mean the south?
Yeah, the south, y'all. Like, the south.
Well, we know. No, Florida is a suburb of New York, actually. I think that it's going to be harder in the South because it seems to be more culturally ingrained that drugs are bad and alcohol is good.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues. I think that you have the metropolitan areas, I think, would vote yes or come close to voting yes, in the South. I think that the rural areas are not going to do it. And I think that, the issue that has to get out there is that, yes, marijuana is a drug, no matter if it's class one, class two, but it allows people to function that couldn't function beforehand. And the first thing my statement is before you get a general release of marijuana, you have to start small. You have to do it by the steps. And the steps are you get medical marijuana legal. If medical marijuana was legal in every state, I think the next step would be a lot easier than what we're struggling with now.
By the way, Normal is the main respondent on that case going to the appeals court. Also, just in case you're interested, I'm the main host on a podcast called Skeptics Guide to Government. We don't just do this, but we do all kinds of aspects of that. So you can find it on iTunes, Skeptics Guide to Government. But the other thing is, in answer to that, everybody I've talked to who has analyzed not just this, but analyzed in general these types of social changes, basically feel that it's that two-thirds rule. That when two-thirds of the states, you don't need all 50, when two-thirds of the states have legal medical marijuana, you will then probably, it'll become legal nationwide at that point.
I would say, but I would disagree because, again, we got 17 states that have legalized it. But there are not 17 states that have dispensaries in every state. All right? I think a lot of the legalization was a placation to the public, but they've created such draconian rules that you can't get a dispensary in that state. Right, right. And no, we'll take that guy back there.
I just the whole issue with Obama reversing his position on this. I actually honestly believe, and I may be totally wrong, but I think he's going to reverse back, and he did that because he knew he had this election coming up and didn't want that to be held over him. And he's a politician. Any politician wants to get reelected.
I respect what you're saying.
And I think he's going to switch back after this election.
You know, all they're going to do is basically pull him up. And say you take one position, then you take another position, then you take another position. How can we ever trust you? Yes, sir.
Based on what you've seen, I know there's a lot of elements that go into this, but what, based on what you've seen, would be the earliest year that you would think that you would see at least medical marijuana legalized?
In which state?
Or
in the country?
In the country.
Oh, in the country.
Countrywide, yes. I mean, you probably.
I don't. I mean, I would say, I would love to say 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think so.
I'd always heard that if Obama got a second term, the idea was the push was legalization. But
now it doesn't look like that anymore. I mean, the federal government is not going to legalize it. All the federal government is going to sit there and do is not prosecute it. And that's all they're going to do. They don't regulate it now. It's illegal. They don't have to regulate it. It's illegal in their mind. So every state has to get on. And when the states get on, that's why I said the majority, at least two-thirds. And then the two-third rule is really, if you have a representative in Congress and a bill comes up and says, let's legalize it, and your state's already said, we've legalized it, well, you don't want to destroy your political career. You know, because the only way to get past it is the state had to pass it somehow in a referendum. It's classified as a class one drug. You know what? If it helps glaucoma, okay, if it eases people that have debilitating pain, right? Yeah, it's a drug.
Alcohol is a drug.
You know, I mean. I have no problem calling it a drug, as it's been stated. Aspirin's a drug. I mean,
echinacea's not a drug. Why could marijuana be a drug?
It's a food supplement. Let's not go there.
It's just a food supplement.
So, I do want to bring up one thing that I thought was always humorous. That, as we all know, California growers, their workers are now can be unionized. I wanted you all to know that. Also, under Colorado. Colorado people can also become unionized. There's now a unionization for, cloners and pickers. Thank God.
To offer some information about legalizing it in the South, I know I live in Tennessee, and at least the last I checked, Tennessee is in the infant stages of trying to pass a medical marijuana bill.
That's true.
I thought everybody would be interested to know that.
Well, I think my expectation is in the South that you're going to see more and more infant bills coming up, and it's just going to go up to a point. My problem with the South is my same problem with New Hampshire. New Hampshire has passed medical marijuana for both the House and the Senate has passed medical marijuana for the last 5 years, and the governor's vetoed it for the last 5 years, and they can't get an override on them. You know. That's why I'm saying culturally. I mean, I look at the South and I look at New Hampshire, and I'm saying we're in the same boat. Yes.
Peter, my name's John, and I've had discussions about the legalization issue for many years online and at work, actually. I'm a federal contractor involved in reviewing engineering documents and a site that's really interested in maintaining the utmost in safety standards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things I've noticed in the arguments is nobody seems to agree on what the term legalization means. And they also confuse the argument with citations of police misconduct. That's actually been going on, for centuries with respect to firearms laws and the Second Amendment. And what I would urge is that you get in mind what it is you want and mean by legalization, not simply decriminalization, but also consumer protections against adulteration, in the case where Monsanto might be using genetic engineering, or your local grower might be spiking it a little bit for you, and you get a hold of some bad stuff. And you also have to recognize that there are a lot of industries in the United States that oppose the legalization of more drugs, and I'm not talking just marijuana in this case, because they have an obligation to the public safety that isn't protected by simply firing an individual after the fact. And it's easiest to talk about pilots being intoxicated, of course, but I work for the nuclear industry, and I'm pretty sure that nobody in here wants anybody handling plutonium buttons to be adulterated in any way, shape, or form. And so what I'm getting at here is that I would suggest and would ask you if anyone in the decriminalization or legalization movement has considered that when you speak of this legalization, you also have to come up with ways to protect the public from the perceived effects of marijuana intoxication.
No, I understand what you're saying. Every state that I've seen their laws on has put in a testing procedure that it has to be tested by a medical lab, the marijuana.
Right.
Okay. Every state in regards to medical marijuana that I've seen, states heavy machinery and those things, right, cannot be operated if you have a card. They basically say they don't want you to operate it.
Right.
I mean, does that mean, but you know, then you get into the issue of, and then you got the owner of a company who needs that machine run,
right.
And yeah, the guy has a car, but he knows he can run the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't do this, does he lose an order? You know, the statutes are written with quite a lot of protection for the general public, okay?
Right.
In both a protection of medical marijuana, you know, if somebody's on it, what they're allowed to do,
mm-hmm.
as well as somebody in taking it, because it's supposed to be medical marijuana. It's not supposed to be something laced with ecstasy. I was more concerned about a poison, like
right.
arsenic or something
exactly.
like that. You know.
Exactly.
You know.
Right.
So I think from a legalized issue, what the things that we're discussing, the things that we're, you know, we've all embraced that and what we're talking about. I mean, the thing that we keep hitting our head against the wall, in my mind, is that there are people that need this to have a life. Because if they don't, they got to move to a state that doesn't. You know, and so that's great. They have extended family in Florida,
mm-hmm.
but they got to move to California because that's the only way that they can function.
Right.
All right.
And then recognize there's two categories of legalizations. And often the argument is simply for release to the general public, not simply for medical uses.
Yeah, no, I respect that too, but that's why this seminar is called
right.
Medical Marijuana.
Gotcha.
Because I'm not getting into that conversation.
Thank you.
I actually have a question related to that conversation. In Colorado, they're looking to make it regulated as alcohol. But I have heard some people on the medical side are actually against that passing because it might hurt legalities of the medical institution or medical side of it going government, federal, or going nationwide. So what are your comments on, like, I think it's five states looking to regulate as alcohol effectively, how that might hurt the medical side of it? Have you heard that argument?
No, I haven't. I mean,
they were saying it takes 20, two-thirds of the states. If two-thirds of the states had medical marijuana, then it'd be a lot easier to make it nationally legal
right.
at through a congressional methods. Right. But if the states then became regulated it, it wouldn't be a medical thing as much anymore. It's one of the arguments I heard against it.
No, I mean, all that the expectation of the federal government is that anybody wants, you know, is literally, I mean, we would like two things. One, we would like marijuana to be a class two drug. We want it off of class one. Okay? Now, that affects a lot of people. The second thing is, all we want the feds to say is, if a state has said that they can have medical marijuana, then the state can do it. The DEA leaves these people alone, and the state regulates this industry to make sure that they're conforming to state rules and regulations. Nobody wants the federal government to create an outline because they don't know what they're doing anyway. You know, I mean, you can't say that rules that relate to Tennessee should be the same rules that relate to New York. It's different populations, it's different cultures. We're human beings, but we're not homogenous. We all have different cultures, we all have different beliefs, we all have different attitudes. And you kind of go where those attitudes are kind of similar to yours. I mean, you don't want to walk down the block and say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. There are people that do that. I don't know why. I mean, where's the social network guy when I need him? He could tell us that. Go ahead.
Okay. This particular battle seems ridiculously uphill, as opposed to every other social battle in the United States. But I feel like there's because it's politics, so therefore it's money. It all comes back to who's paying who for what. Usually, what I have seen. It seems to be that the reason we have a DEA is because we have private-for-profit prisons. Private-for-profit prisons can imprison people for stupid things, such as, oh, you have marijuana, let's throw you in jail for 10 years. And then they profit from the states. So it seems that the problem is if you're attacking state regulations, you're not attacking the problem of private-for-profit prisons, in my theory that I've come up with. What do you see as some of the more financially causative things, or the businesses, or the CEO, or whoever, the special interest groups, those people, who are those people who we need to attack? Because I don't think at the end of the day it's politicians or the government. I think, you know, they just go out to the highest bidder. That's their job. So, I mean, is there anybody who disagrees with that? Well, yeah, that's all it is. Who's the money power that we really need to address?
I mean, I think that there is such an industry that has been created around making sure that marijuana is a policeable drug that can put people into jail. That it's not just a group, it's multiple factors and multiple groups. I made a glib comment about Georgia, how they've taken money in drug busts and now are using them to basically fund the police. This
but
is all across
do that
the country.
Same thing with taxes on sale.
No, but that so means it's taxes are bad. It's not in my backyard. That's what you live with. It's not in my backyard. People don't want it. People don't understand it.
So who are the interests?
I go to the interests that are going to make a hell of a lot more money supporting and making it legal. And they're going to be the ones that are basically going to go push this a lot harder than the ones that are going to keep it down. And the people that need money is every city and every state that's going bust in this country. Because they're going to get sales tax.
So my question is, who are the ones who are going to bring it down?
The ones that are bring it down are basically, I mean, just you just got conservatives, you got people that don't like it, you got people that are culturally ingrained. I mean, people still believe Reefer Madness is real. And it was a great film. What industries are against?
Yeah, what industries?
The criminal justice system, 46% of the people who go through the local police, go through the courts, who are in jail at the state and federal level, are on marijuana with no violent acts.
Right.
And so that means that essentially half of the budget of the criminal justice system at every single level will be eliminated if marijuana is made legal.
No, that's not true.
No way.
Okay, wait. The criminal
that's
justice.
What scared about it. It's not true. I agree with you.
The federal government. I mean, let's try and keep. You know, I belong to Norm, and I've listened to a lot of propaganda. Okay, on both sides of the fence on this. The federal government in regards to the criminal justice system is so backlogged that if they lost 40, if they got rid of every marijuana case, then maybe justice actually could be served quickly and efficiently. All right? So I've never met a criminal judge that says, oh, I'm so excited, I have 33 docketed marijuana cases. Everyone I've ever met sits there and says, can we get rid of this shit? Because I got more cases to do.
The judges are the only ones who want to get rid of it. But right. The people who run the jails and right. people and police don't.
The okay. people that run the people that run the jails are still going to get paid. It's not like we don't have anybody to put into jail.
Okay.
You know what? I'll take every state municipal organization and put it against the paid prison system, and believe me, from a dollar-to-dollar basis, those prison people are screwed. Because the state municipal, the state city, the state tax collection people, they need revenue a hell of a lot more than those people.
I'm just answering his question that he said, who are the powers against?
They are not. The powers that are behind is a cultural entrenchment. Okay? There are no powers beyond that sit there and say, we don't want it. Because believe me, Monsanto would love to have it because they're going to have the warehouses built.
Okay.
Stop. Stop.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm on your side, okay? If you go out and you go and you won't hear this in the regular media, Libertarian Party, the vice presidential candidate is a former judge who made the statement, and I believe he can back it up, that someone is arrested in this country every 37 seconds, and most of those are not selling, they're just users or possession. That has, he said he was just absolutely astounded by the cost, not just money cost, but to those lives that get ruined. And that's why he signed on with Gary Johnson as running. They're on the ballot in all 50 states, people. They will, you vote them in, they will push it, and push it hard. But it is one of the barriers is the reefer madness. The idea that it is something evil, that it's going to turn a normal person into somebody horrible.
Right.
And as far as the proof that it is a, I have two things to say on proving that
okay.
it is.
And your question
for,
is?
For medical. I just want to make a point to
no,
back
I,
you up.
No, I appreciate that. No, I do.
Yes.
But I got.
Yes, I know. I know.
I got.
But. I actually am alive because of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I went into anaphylactic shock. The only thing that saved me was a bomb and getting hit with that. The second thing is there is proof out there. People are doing research. They have found that something in that plant will stop the growth of tumors in animals. It is not, it should not be Schedule 1.
Right.
That's what we've got to do.
And we all agree.
And I should actually note as well that Gary Johnson isn't actually on all stage yet. They're still not sure about Oklahoma. That's still going to a judge, and that will be decided in the next week or two.
Just real quick to the earlier point, yes, I think it is the prison industry that's pushing against it. And if you want to find out how to help it, look at the industries that can be helped by it, put it back into the hands of agriculture. The farmers would benefit from growing marijuana more than anybody.
Yeah, then never mind. No.
Nope. Do you really think with, and you stated 20 years earlier is where you
yes.
see it going. Do you really think with the population as it is now that it really will take that long?
Yes.
I mean, looking at, I don't know, 35 under, it's a pretty commonplace, even, heck, I look at my parents' generation who are old hippies.
Thank you.
And and they all, I mean, I don't know a single one who doesn't either grow or use in some fashion, so... And I'm pretty middle-of-the-road mainstream out there, hold a job, and...
I think that I would point to you and take a look that since, I think, 1996, California's had medical marijuana, and Proposition 19, which was to legalize marijuana for the entire state, got defeated quite, like, 75%, 25%. And this is a state that's had medical marijuana. So I look at that state and I say, how did it get defeated? And the issue was that they had no issues, the Californians had no issues, about, and they had all the major metropolitan areas voted for that proposition, all the rural areas, all the growing areas, all the manufacturing, all voted heavily against it. All right, they felt that medical marijuana, great. Recreational marijuana, no. So I look at that state and I say, if they can't get it passed, then I think that culturally it will take a lot more time, you know, to do it. That's why I say 20 years.
I have, I'm from Maine. I'm just from north from you, right here. The government.
You're a maniac.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a little crazy. But anyway, I just recently read a couple weeks ago that the government just destroyed over $1 billion of crops from the Mexican cartels that are growing on our federal land. And that's what we need to push out of our country, because we technically fund those cartels in action. And that's what we have to try to tell the government, that we got to get these cartels out of America and stop funding them. And legalizing this. And I think we will see it a lot sooner than that.
Statistically speaking, only because I'm an accountant, so I deal with numbers. I don't know why. The amount that was destroyed this year is 35% less than what it was destroyed last year. So therefore, if they did...
That 1 billion was just...
No, that I know the forest they hit. They didn't hit that good a forest. Go ahead, ma'am.
Just a side note on what she was speaking of. I'm the same age as you, and I work full time and do all that. It's the people who are our age who are not out there voting. It's that has a lot to do with what's going on. People aren't voting for what they feel they need and what we want. And what medical people need. That's the answer to your question, that the right people aren't voting for the right thing.
And, you know, my issue is I just want to make sure that we're balanced here. You know, I think that, you know, I'm talking to a crowd that says medical marijuana is good, you know. But, you know...
Everyone's here so I can do a recreational.
I'm sorry?
People really want to be recreational.
Right, but I think that before you can become recreational-wise, you're gonna you have to get it medically correct. I think people do stupid shit. I'm sorry. I mean, I think it's human nature.
Start my question now.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because you're still saying 20 years, you know, Pat Robertson has fully endorsed, they already have medical, he's endorsing full legalization in Colorado for adult general use. Do you really think that most of America is 20 years behind Pat Robertson on social issues?
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God. Yes. Really?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we're only talking about this social issue. And by the way, if it comes faster than 20 years, it's not like I'm going to sit there and complain. Okay? I just want everyone to know. But my honest opinion, I mean, I was asked my honest opinion. I feel it's going to be 20 years. Yes.
I lived in Sonoma County and voted for Prop 19 to pass. I really wanted it to be recreational legal.
I understand.
And the discussion among my friends were that they knew people that was how they supported themselves, and if it became full on legal, they wouldn't be able to support themselves that way anymore. And that's who voted against it, where people, instead of going pro, wanted to stay amateur.
Well, no, that's why I said the farmers, that's who I call the farmers, sat there and basically blanketed. But also Orange County, right? It was what? I think it was only 98% voted against Prop 19. I think 2% voted for it.
Yeah.
And I think that the young lady was right in the back, who's left, was that the people that would have voted for it didn't go to the polls.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just didn't go to the polls. And I think that is one of the issues.
It passed in Sonoma County and it did not pass in Napa. Please know that when you buy wine.
Yes. Who has the mic? Ah.
I've got a question that's a little bit unrelated to medical marijuana. Is
hemp and side. Marijuana a plausible fuel source, or is that just an urban legend? A fuel source for vehicles.
Legend. I've heard about it. I've heard about it, and I'm not sure. But you know, if it's a diesel engine, I would say probably. I mean, diesel engines can run on French fried vegetable oil. I mean, you know, if I could think that, but I mean, it's not probable. It's not probable because I mean they can't even pass a national hemp bill, okay? And hemp would be like one of the best products around from the apparel industry, and it would be so much better to have hemp than a lot of other products like non-organic cotton. I mean we're in the South, and I apologize. This cotton is probably one of the most toxic growing plants that we do, with all the chemicals, and now it's destroying the aquifer and everything of that nature. And yet, you know, hemp would be so much better, but they can't pass a hemp bill. So I think if hemp ever got legalized, which would be possibly your fuel source, the apparel industry is grabbing every piece around.
And the paper
industry, you're right. Yes?
I was just kind of piggybacking off what he was saying, the proposition out in California, that the people who were making the money selling on the side were going to be upset. I know in Georgia over the past year, we've been county by county getting Sunday sales for alcohol. And I know one of the main groups, Colorado just got theirs a couple years ago, so we aren't that far behind. But one of the main groups against it were liquor stores, because they're making the same amount of money working 6 days a week. So I see that as that's a pretty legitimate argument. If you're, you know, if you're making good bank on the side selling, and comes around and it's legalized, and then you have to pay taxes on it. So
I understand.
I mean, I understand that side of those people not going out and voting against, or they do go out and vote against it.
Right, but
for that reason,
the growers that just deal with medical marijuana, if they all went out, it wasn't going to do much of, you know, they had a vested interest, but it's not that many people. It's big money-wise, but it's not that many people. I don't count the guys that go in and do the clipping at the end of the season. You know, I think one of the organizations I represented basically was using all disabled vets. I mean, they voted for Prop 19. You know, it was a nonprofit, and they used disabled vets and used the money to give these people more than adequate housing, better medical care, and everything that the federal government wouldn't give them. You know, and they closed down because their dispensary was closed by the federal government. I mean, I would have been scared to death to go in there. I mean, DEA goes against a place where maybe there were like 90 vets. God knows how many. I know it's California, but how many guns there might have been there?
And nobody got shot.
I mean, there was a very peaceful shutdown.
In California, nobody got more than 10 rounds in a bag anyway.
Real quick answer to the question over here earlier. Yes, hemp, the marijuana plant, could be used as fuel, the same as corn and switchgrass as far as cellulosic ethanol. But it's actually a lot better than that, because if you start looking at the seed itself, you now have a high oil content, which to transfer that into something that's burnable in our diesel engines is so much easier than ever trying to take ethanol and mix it into gas. It's way more beneficial.
I can agree with you to an extent, but my problem is that if I'm growing hemp, all right, first of all, the stock, it's going to the apparel or the paper industry. I'm going to make a hell of a lot more money than burning it. The seed, all right, is going to be basically going into oil, like vegetable oil and cooking oil. I'll make a hell of a lot more money utilizing it that way. I respect that you say it can be burnt and it can be used, but I think if it ever became legal, I think there are other industries that would pay a lot more for it. And I think that I go into the capitalist system and say, if I'm growing it, I'm going to sell it for the most amount of money I can get.
That already exists in Europe. They've genetically engineered out the THC, and they have not just apparel,
but also building materials.
Yeah, but the problem is, I mean, and this is my personality, and I admit this, I don't like genetically grown corn, seed, soy. I mean, the only good thing about Europe versus the United States is if you genetically grow it there, you can't patent it. Here, we patented it. And that's a whole other subject that I'm sure Scott would one day want to take up.
Well, one thing I'd like to say about your approach as far as medical marijuana, I think is the right way to go. Push it hard, get it to the point where enough people in enough states so you can get an amendment to the Constitution that, and base it on facts. Facts. It has medical uses. Then once you get that those facts out to the general population, and it might take 20 years.
I would like to be wrong.
Yeah, I'd like to be wrong too. But it might take that long, but it is the best way to get to where we want to go.
Yeah. We may be smaller, but we had more questions.
Yeah, one thing to follow up on what she said. Really,
yes, sir.
You're right. What we're fighting here is fear, the fear of marijuana. And if we're going to battle that, we need to battle it with the closest thing we've got is compassion. We can actually find a place where there is compassion from people for other people in regards to marijuana. And if we can ever get it to where that's more powerful than the fear of the evils of marijuana, then we'll turn that tide. But there's a lot of fear-mongering.
And I agree. And I think that right now I attended the last lecture. He's a magnificent speaker. You should buy his book. I don't know what the book's name was, though. I'm touting a book I don't know. This is great. But the issue he brought up was there's a social conscience, and then there are people that do things for their own interest. And when the social conscience gets great enough, I believe that medical marijuana will come about. Yes, sir.
This is sort of a dangerous area to get into, but another way to look at it is, as far as the things that are keeping it illegal, at least in this state, I think, it's religion. I mean, it's basically just the perception that's in the churches that, you know, that it's such an evil, horrible thing. You know, so basically, you know, change it on that level.
I don't dispute. To me, that's a cultural aspect. To me, religion is a cultural aspect. If religion gets behind it, then it's going to pass. But I don't know how to take and dynamically change religion. I don't do well with it with my own son.
So I think the other thing that we're having an issue with is the perception of the typical marijuana smoker is, you know, kind of subpar. You know, the people who will back into a garage door. And these are the people that the general public probably doesn't want to be around, although that is not the, you know, 90% of the people who are, you know, using this for whatever reason, like my friend who literally can't function without it.
I understand. As the issue was, compassion is going to win out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. I've been called.
Thank you.